Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Thanks for joining us. When you think about surfing, your imagination probably takes you to places like Hawaii or California. You think palm trees, sunshine, bright blue water. Lake Michigan in November probably doesn't cross your mind, but while the rest of us are raking leaves and breaking out our winter coats, Michigan surfers are making their way to the beach. Joining us to talk about what it's like to hang 10 on the Great Lakes is Joe Matulis, owner of Matuli, that would be the plural of Matulis, I take it, a paddleboard and surfboard company based in East Lansing. Welcome to Current State, Joe.
Hi, good morning.
And also joining us on the phone is the Great Lakes Surfing Association President Bob Beaton, a longtime Great Lakes surfer. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Bob, how long have you been surfing on the Great Lakes? When and when did this start becoming popular?
I started in 1962, and that's just about the time modern surfing became popular.
And you've been at this a good long time now. What was the scene like when you first started? Were you out there alone on Lake Michigan?
Exactly. There was nothing out on the lake on a rough day. Nobody did anything on the lake on a rough day. Now you see all kinds of things going on. People out there with jet skis, surfboards, you name it. You know, that people are, kite surfers are all out there in rough water. But back then, there was nothing out on the lake. Hmm. When it was rough, you just didn't go in the water.
Joe, how did you first get involved in surfing on the Great Lakes?
Well, we always had a summer home right on Lake Michigan, and we were always fooling around out there doing stuff, and surfing came on the scene, and early 60s, late 50s, early 60s, that's when you started hearing about modern surfing, and we've seen them surfing in California and Hawaii, so we thought, well, we didn't have any surfboards, so we had these little Elkhart sailfishes, closed-hull sailboats, and we took the mast off them and pushed them out in the lake, and took three of us to get it out there, and then wave would come along, and two of the guys would push it and then tread water while the one guy rode it in, and they'd swim back in, and then they all would take it all back out again and do it all over again. So,
let's turn to Joe Matulis here in the Current State studio. Joe, how did you first get involved in surfing on the Great Lakes?
Well, one day I was up in northern Michigan, and I saw some waves, and at the time I wanted to get into lifeguarding in California, and my twin brother and I, we would call lifeguard departments on the West Coast, and the first question they would always ask is, do you surf? So we knew we wanted to become a surfer so we could lifeguard in California, and we had difficulty finding surfboards, so we ended up making our own. And right after we graduated high school, we'd head over to Grand Haven on stormy days and try our best on our homemade board. And eventually we got some waves and learned quite a bit about surfing, and that really helped us over in California become ocean lifeguards.
Our guests are Joe Matulis, owner of Matuli, a paddleboard and surfboard company in East Lansing. Also with us, Bob Beaton, president of the Great Lakes Surfing Association. We are talking about surfing in the Great Lakes. Bob, what's the difference between surfing on the Great Lakes and surfing in the ocean?
Quite a bit, actually. Our wave frequency, that's the distance between waves, is like 5 to 7 seconds, maybe. Where on the ocean, your sequence is like 15 seconds, sometimes 20 seconds between waves. And then generally ours are wind-driven waves. Not all, but most of them are wind-driven waves. That's direct onshore winds. Where on the ocean, you got swells that travel for thousands of miles, and they're wind originated with wind. All waves do, but there's like ocean swells that come in.
Joe, what is the best time to surf in the Great Lakes, and where do you like to go?
Well, there's a lot of secret spots out there. The best time is going to be when the wind's been blowing for a long time, and then it'll switch directions or stop, which is kind of rare, and usually on the north side or the bottom of Lake Michigan. Those are my favorite spots. So once the wind stops, that'll be the best time because the water won't be so choppy, and the waves will still keep coming for a couple hours.
What about you, Bob?
Yeah, that's Joe's got it there. If you want the very best waves that are most ocean-like, you go to either the northern end of Lake Michigan or the southern end to get the longest fetch distance. That's the distance that the wave travels from its when it originates. And the longer it has to travel, the more they spread out and they become more like ocean swells. So you go down to Michigan City on a north, northeast, and or St. Joe, and then you go up to northern Lake Michigan for, you know, a south blow, like Frankfurt, or further north up to, I can't think of the name of the place. But
I want to be clear about this, though. Bob, do you surf more in the fall than you do in the summer?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you start getting your first low-pressure centers in the fall. That's when you first start, you know, you start getting your winds. Not to say we don't get surf in the summer. We do. But most of it starts occurring in, I'd say, second week of August up through, well, you can go all winter if you get the good wetsuit and there's no ice.
That's how you deal with the cold water, is with a wetsuit?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, even in the summertime, you'll often wear a wetsuit, even, you know, like a short john or something like that, at least just something, because, you know, even 70-degree water, if you're in there long enough, you start getting a chill, but... Yeah, yeah, and then you go into a full wetsuit, like boots, gloves, hood, and all that. I'd say you get into that in later October and into November.
You're nodding, Joe. That's a familiar scenario to you.
Absolutely. Some of the newer wetsuits are so amazing. Mine has actually electric batteries that'll warm it up for about 2 hours, and so I can be out there if it's snowing and the water temperature is way down.
Bob, in your long career here, you've been at this a half century. I'm really impressed here. Are any memories that really stand out for you?
Oh, gosh. A whole life of it. I mean, that's pretty much I devoted my whole life to. Never got married, never had any real career. Just, you know, basically work factory jobs or something during the summer, save all my money up and go down to Mexico in the winter. And, you know, surf here in the summer when I was working and doing stuff. And
I understand, though, I mean, the night the Edmund Fitzgerald sank, November 10th, 1975, obviously there was an intense storm that blew through the upper Great Lakes at the very least, and that's a memorable night for you. Tell us about that.
Oh, gosh. The Fitz went down. We had 25-foot waves off the South Pier at Grand Haven. Those were the largest waves anybody's ever seen on Lake Michigan, and that... We were surfing south down at Port Sheldon because they had higher piers, and we went inside the harbor. It's the only place you can manage to catch a wave. If you're at Grand Haven early in the day, you couldn't have surfed it. And we came back up to Grand Haven later in the day, and we tried to catch it around 5:30. That's on November 10th, so it's getting kind of dark, but we thought we'd go out and try it anyway. And three kids got washed off the pier. And so we went in to rescue them, and it took us an hour and a half, and got one of them in. And that was a real nightmare. That was a life changer right there.
You lost the other two?
Yeah, the one kid went down before we even got out there. And then the two brothers we had on their boards, three of us, Burl Easing, Steve White, and myself, had them on our boards for about an hour and a half. And they were breaking around 12 to 14 feet where we were surfing. They were like 25 feet off the pierhead, so the Coast Guard boat couldn't make it around to get to us. I don't know how they could have ever done a rescue anyway in that kind of surf. So we just decided to take them in through the break. I had one guy on my board, and Stevie had one guy on his board, and then we put Burl in between us to help either one of us, and one wave just picked all five of us up and drilled us into the bottom. I thought I snapped my neck and came up, and I thought I lost my guy for sure, but I saw his head bobbing in the water, so I had about 7 or 8 seconds to get over to him and get him back on my board again, and then the same thing happened again. It just got drilled to the bottom again, and came back up, and I thought I lost him again, and I seen him again, so I got him back on my board, and I had him about 4 or 5 times, I don't know, a half dozen times, and finally I realized I was getting closer into shore, and then finally got into shore and got him out of there.
And you've been at this a lot less time than Bob has, Joe. What's your most memorable moment out on a surfboard in the Great Lakes?
Well, just probably being with my brothers and exploring new places. We'll go camping, maybe in the UP, and just go on an adventure, and like we'll watch the weather. If there's a storm coming, we'll look at maps and try to guess where the best place is going to be, and if it's not good there, we'll try somewhere else. And it's just fun being out with friends.
Bob, what advice do you have for somebody just starting out trying to teach themselves like you did?
Go to the ocean. No, really, the waves are. And if you can surf in Lake Michigan, you can surf almost anywhere on Earth. I would advise, really, if you're on a vacation, like to Hawaii or anywhere in the ocean or something where they got nice rolling slow waves coming in, easier to catch. You know, salt water is more buoyant than fresh water. But, you know, if you had to surf somewhere in the lake, I would go to the lee side of a pier. That's the, you know, difference between windward and leeward. Leeward would be where the wind's leaving, you know, it's blocked, so it cuts out all the chop, and then you do get some ocean kind of swells that come in and be easier to learn how. I would say, oh, someplace like North Muskegon on a south day, and maybe Grand Haven on a north day, just so you can get some little bit of shelter from the chop, and you can get waves that are somewhat organized and a little bit easier to ride. But
have you been? How many times have you been out this fall, Bob?
Oh, about 3 times.
What about you, Joe?
About 5 times.
Okay, 3 times, 5 times. We got windy weather the next couple of days. Are you heading out to the next few days, Bob?
Yeah. It's, you got to, like Joe says, you got to check your weather data. Know which way, you know, it's all dependent on the wind direction, where you're going to go surfing, and you know, different wind direction, different spots. So, yeah, you get your van loaded up, get your board and equipment, wetsuit and all the stuff ready, and you hit it.
We got to thank our two guests, both of them Great Lakes surfers. Bob Beaton is the president of the Great Lakes Surfing Association. Joe Matulis is the owner of Matulai, a paddleboard and surfboard company based here in East Lansing. Many thanks for joining us.
No problem.